today is indeed the day the Lord has made. May we truly rejoice and be glad in it. And may the meditations of our hearts and may the words of our mouth glorify Him in grace and love. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, thank You for this wonderful opportunity to come together with one another, to share, to worship together, to lift our hearts together, to hear Your word together, to sing hymns and to share fellowship one with another. May we now come to worship You in spirit and in truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Our reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 11, and then 16 through 23. They can be found on page 927 of your pew Bible. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building on it. Each builder must choose with care how to build on it. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one that has been laid. That foundation is Jesus Christ. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Do not deceive yourselves. If you think that you are wise in this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. So let no one boast about human leaders, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world, or life, or death, or the present, or the future, all belong to you, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. The word of God for the people of God.
I think this is one of those messages that needs to come with a foreword or warning or disclaimer. Warning, the two jobs of a pastor are one, to comfort the afflicted, but two, to afflict the comfortable. I'll try to do both a little bit this morning, but bear with me. It's got someplace it's going. This scripture this morning, I just have to be honest, causes us some thought. Because of verse 16 mainly, because in that verse it says that we are the temple of God. And I want you to hear that, and I want you to think about how precious that is. That the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is saying, we're the temple of God, for the Spirit of God is in us. Look at your bulletin. It's got a beautiful cover on it, and that's the verse that's there on the cover of your bulletin. But I want you to also notice that verse 11 is a key and central voice to all of what Paul has said in this letter to the church at Corinth and what will be said following. And that is the foundation. You cannot lay a foundation on anything else other than upon Jesus Christ. That foundation, He is the chief cornerstone. He is that propitiation for our sins, that one and only sacrifice. It is upon that that everything we as Christians believe and build are based. And when we get down to verse 16, the Holy Spirit comes and resides in us. And this is reminiscent of the old Jewish custom that God's presence came and sat on the mercy seat back in the days of the tent of meeting and later in Solomon's temple and later to a felt that was going on in the second temple period. And now it's the Holy Spirit of God that's within us. That Spirit of God, that Holy Spirit, that piece of redemptive image of God that lets us become that temple spiritually of God. And then it comes down, and this is where we got to fix a little bit of the Greek to English. It says that if anybody hurts this temple, God will hurt them. Well, let's talk about that. What does he mean by that? Have you ever, boy, this cross is inconvenient, isn't it? It usually is, isn't it? You know, sometimes we say things that, in the light of this, we might not should have said. Maybe we didn't say something that we should have. Maybe in light of the cross, we didn't do what we should and did what we shouldn't have. It's kind of in the way, isn't it? Kind of reminds us of that foundation, doesn't it? But it's in the way sometimes. And then it's this reminder of the price that was paid. He didn't just say it, did he? He lived it and died. It's inconvenient. Have you ever been having a conversation with somebody and all of a sudden they start running somebody down? Have you ever been in that situation? Nah, none of you have ever been around anybody that did that. They started assassinating somebody's that you knew, maybe that both of you knew. Well, let me ask you a real question. Who did that reflect worse on? You know, if you'll run your buddy down to me, that shows me a little fault of character. Back home, we used to say where two or three are gathered together, you stay until they all leave. Because if you don't, they'll talk about you too. So you can't leave them. But when we do that, like it's like people, they run their own church down. I don't understand that. What does that look like? What do you look like when you're out running your own? How do we think that looks good? It's a little inconvenient, isn't it? Told you. But now I'm going to really get inconvenient. Oh, my life has ended. I can't find my cell phone. Has anybody got one I could borrow? Has anybody got a smartphone? If you got a smartphone with you this morning, would you lift it up? Come on, get it out. Just be sure it's on silent, please. Hold it up. I didn't really lose it. I have mine, too. And by the way, I encourage you to tell people where you are this morning. Post it on Facebook, all that stuff. I have mine too. You know, in the history of humanity, we have never, in the history of humanity, lived in a day and age when there was more information available to us than today. No, not only that, it's available to us faster. Do you know that people have quit reading encyclopedias for the most part? I encourage you to go to the library and go to the reference section and look at the dust bunnies. Pastor, how do you know? Push the book back a little bit and look at the dust around the edge. There hadn't been anybody. Hey, when's the last time you got a world book out and looked something up? You went here, didn't you? You got on your computer at home, didn't you? Yeah, we get information so fast, don't we? We get tons of it. It's interesting. You get on Google or you get on Bing or you get on Web Crawler or Meta Crawler, whatever thing you use, you know, Safari or Mozilla, Firefox or whatever you get on, and it tells you that you got 3,211 hits in 0.65 seconds. Holy crumoly, that's a lot of stuff fast, isn't it? And you know what? We have decided that if it's on the internet, it's right. Have you noticed that? You know, kids, young people, college, don't believe it. Do not quote it as a source and use it as a primary source. Anybody done that? What happens? Snoop it. Snopes it. Whatever you want to call it. Go check it out first. It was interesting this week. Somebody, I can't remember what the tweet was now. They tweeted something in the name of somebody, but it wasn't even their tweet account or anything else. And man, the politicians, they didn't check it. And you know what bothers me? All of this negative stuff on TV, nobody ever retracts it when it's a lie. If they do, it gets about a spot about that big. Now, Mike, you ran in for political office here in Sweetwater. Did they ever say anything that wasn't true about you? Did they print a retraction? Yeah, how big was that retraction compared to the headline? Yeah, I'm picking on Mike. Bless his heart, he's the sheriff. And you know, political office is tough. It's really tough. But we've got more information available to us today than ever before. I did some research about 4 this morning, 4:15. Do you know what one of the most downloaded things is for apps and different things today? Social media, number one. Number one. The second most downloaded applications, guess. Anybody want to take a guess? News. News. Number three is tied. There's two at number three. Stocks and games. Go figure. You know, who's going to watch? You know, it's the stock market versus the games, the different kind of things that watch the ticket tape and all that stuff. And you know, if you're in the stock market, don't look at it every day because you need to be in it for the long haul. You know, so just that's just my piece. But we have all this information available to us, don't we? I mean, we should be the most enlightened generation of people ever existing upon the planet, and I would contend that we're the most confused generation that's ever breathed. We don't know what to believe anymore. We're confused about everything. Have you not noticed that? You need to understand, while you have all this information available to you, you're available to all of them. Was once said, he who controls the information controls the people. While you have access to all of this and you can get 3,211 results in 0.65 seconds, remember, they've got you too. They teach us and they color us our attitudes, our expectations. They've learned to advertise. They've learned to dress it up. They've learned to sell it to us. And we've become fish on the hook. We swallow it hook, line, and sinker. I've lived through civil rights in the Deep South. I have seen it at its ugliest core. I was raised in a culture where women knew their place. That's right. And if you had a color on your skin, you knew yours too. And if you wasn't like everybody else, you knew to keep your mouth shut. That was a culture, wasn't it? Didn't say it was right or wrong, did I? I'm not as dumb as I look. Some people would say they ain't nobody that dumb. But that's another story for another time. This is inconvenient, isn't it? Because you know what? Every one of us are sinners. There isn't a single one of us in a position to point the finger at anyone else. And I would contend that sometimes the old adage is correct. What you don't know won't hurt you. And sometimes the more you know, the less you've learned. And the more you've accumulated. I would contend that most of us as Christians today, have bought the fire insurance, but we left the Lord part out. I would contend that most of us begin our day with a newspaper or a social media post or a news flash or a stock market request. Even we who claim to be Christians, I would contend that most of us don't begin our day here. And here. I would contend that most of us see Jesus as our Savior, but what about the Lord business? It's a little inconvenient, isn't it? Is that where we start our day and finish our day with our Lord? Is that the place to where we turn for hope and change? Did you see what Paul said? Don't trust them. How many of you have your hope and trust in some program, some gimmick? Our hope must be in the Lord. Jesus must be our Savior. He must be our Lord. Man's wisdom is nothing compared to God's. Or mine, or yours. Pastor, what are you talking about? Let me tell you, just get at it. The Bible says that we are to redeem the day, for the powers around us are evil. We start that one at a time in our own hearts and lives, where Jesus isn't just our fire insurance, where Jesus is Lord of our life. He begins by cleaning up my house first. It begins with my relationship with God. It begins when I turn off the devices and turn to the divine. It begins when I turn away from those people who have earthly limits and abilities, and I find God who is limitless. When I'm reminded of verse 16, where the Spirit of God is in me and I am in Him and we are together, I'm the temple of the living God. Folks, do you get that? God is with you. You don't need CNN or Fox. Well, Pastor, I like to get my news. Well, tell me what you got off of it lately that you liked. I don't like Cool Whip. How many of you like Cool Whip? I bet you people like cottage cheese too, don't you? And sour cream. Lord, I just got a whole burden of prayer needs right here. Oh, let me tell you. Cool Whip was the best thing. We didn't get much of it growing up. And they come out with that new whip, Cool Whip, in the squeeze can. And you could just squirt it right on and make pretty stuff. I looked in my refrigerator. I was a kid. I wasn't exactly a little kid. And there was two bottles of that stuff, brand new. I had to try them out. Do you know how sick you get and how much you throw up once you've had too much Cool Whip? Do you know that that sort of colors your taste bud for Cool Whip after that? I just can't. I try it and I go, ooh, 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 and I scrape it off everything. I give it to Carrie. Don't I, Trinity? And sour cream? Why are you paying for something that went bad? I mean, they should have left it thrown out. It's like buttermilk. Oh, I've made gallons and gallons of buttermilk. But sometimes when you get a little too much of something, it's not good for you. Sometimes we need to simplify things. Dust it off and spend some time with it. Go here first instead of CNN and Fox. Go here first instead of Sweetwater Now or the Rocket Miner. Go here first and you'll find a word to you and to the world that is love. That the only agenda here is the redemption of humanity and the love of one another. Yeah, it talks about all kinds of stuff in here, but it's real. Do you know the Old Testament was written by the Jewish people looking back and saying, this is why we got into the mess we're in? Admitting its faults and its failures? Admitting that it goofed up, it didn't listen to God? You need to know, He is Lord. He don't give suggestions. They're called the commandments for a reason. And Jesus gave us number 11. That's coming up on Ash Wednesday. Who do you trust? This age or the ageless? Is your foundation Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? Or is that just good for a Sunday morning? Have you looked around, folks, at the condition of our societies today? Mike, have you got plenty of room down at the county jail? You got a little space issue down there? Do you have any trouble? Do you just have officers that don't have anything to do? What's going on? Are they investigating stuff? Crimes? Horrific stuff too, isn't it? Joanne, are you still counseling people? They got problems? Anybody got any problems? Lots of problems? Now, you counsel at school and you counsel outside of school, don't you? I'm picking on her. She didn't know this was coming. They got problems, don't they? You got any kids or youth or families that have trouble and distress? Okay. Debbie, you do counseling down at the high school, right? Anything going on down there? Well, there is. Jody, what grade do you teach? Third grade. Got any problems down at the third grade? Wonderful. Whew. You know, I have to tell you, I was hoping for one good report there this week. Jesus says, and I kind of tricked you into this, that unless we become as little children, we shall not see the kingdom of heaven. Have you ever watched kids play with each other? They don't care. The only thing is, it's really funny that at that age when the boys run from the girls and the girls run from the boys, they got cooties, and then it changes over and the girls are chasing the boys are running, and then fumes hit. You know what I mean? Gas fumes and perfumes, and the boys lose their mind and the girls have all the control. You know, that's just the way it goes, yeah. But kids, I remember I was a little kid and we went to the YMCA down at the, well, I won't go into that. And I started to break into the village people. So I still might. You don't want that this way. We went, the bus come around and picked us up Tuesdays and Thursdays, and I made a friend, and his name was James. James was my best buddy. I mean, James was my bestie. I couldn't wait for my daddy to meet James. I could not wait to introduce James to my daddy. And I got to talk to the bus driver. The bus driver said, yeah, we'll stay at your stop for just a minute. They picked us up at Hardest Prayers. We lived in Florida back then. And we'll pick you up. We'll let you out right there. And you can have a minute because I really wanted my daddy to meet my little friend James. And so I got off that bus and James was with me. James had this big smile and I had this big smile. I said, Daddy, I want you to meet my best friend James. And Daddy said, get your black ass back on that bus, boy. And you come home. I need to talk to you. Welcome to the world of adulthood and prejudice. Have you looked around? How'd it get there? What colored our perceptions? What colors our opinions? What colors our decisions? This or this? Which one? Whom do you serve? To whom do you turn? To whom do you trust? Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. Yeah, the pastor said a bad word, if you take it that way. But that's what he did tell me to put back in that bus, wasn't it? Or in the truck. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Is Jesus Lord this morning? Or you just have the fire insurance policy? Is he where you begin your day and close it out? And go with? Is he where you begin to make those decisions for family and life and community? Pastor, it's a mess all around me. You bet it is. And that's because we've left God out of it. Our money says in God we trust, but do we? Are we praying for the leaders in our communities to find God and seek God? Are we hoping they'll come up with another gimmick? And another policy change that'll suit us. Church, it begins with God in your heart first as Christ is Lord. Knowing God with us. Serving God every day. But he's got to be more than just the fire insurance. If we want to change our communities and know the hope that is in God, we've got to know that hope in ourselves. Maybe we need to shore it up a little bit. Maybe we want to redeem it a little bit. Maybe we want to renew it a little bit. Maybe we've gotten afar off from it. That's okay. We're one prayer from being back. We're one heartfelt prayer. Because while this cross may sometimes be inconvenient, it's also redemptive, forgiving, and filled with grace. I'm sure that it forgave my dad for the prejudice that he had. And I'm sure it's that same grace that didn't let me grow up with that same prejudice. Now, I could tell you some other horrible things. But I want you to know this morning that God's grace is abundant for every heart and life and situation. Every one of them. It lets us love the unlovable. Folks, God-centered living will help empty Mike's jails and cause the counseling rooms to see less of the problems. It'll take away the headlines. For if we love one another, as Christ has loved us, if we'll put that first, we won't tear down our neighbors and families won't come apart at the seams. But we got to put God in the center. Pastor, I want to pray for my leaders, my church, my community, my family, but mostly for myself, that I will renew or let Jesus be more a Lord of my life this week. If you'll pray that prayer, and if that's you, lift your hand this morning. I want to pray, because got to watch out. This is a good place for the devil to come up. Pastor, I'm going to pray for my leaders this week that they'll be filled with the grace of God. If you'll commit to do that, slip a hand up this morning. Pastor, I'm going to pray for my community and the leaders in my community. If you'll pray for them this week, slip a hand up. Pastor, I believe that if we'll live a God-centered life, it'll change our communities. It'll change the world around us. I know a few disciples that took that on and made a big difference. I know one man that took a cross on that made a big difference. And we can make a difference too with God with us, God before us, and God in us. Pastor, I'm going to try that by God's grace. If you are, slip your hand up. I want to pray for you to be successful at it this morning. Amen. Pastor, there's just stuff going on in my life. I can't explain it. It's hard, difficult. I'd rather not talk about it, but I need you to pray for it. Slip your hand up this morning. I want to pray for you today. Oh, gracious and loving God, would you hear our hearts and prayers today? That God may be centered, that the prejudices of the world, that the angers and the hatreds, Father, that embroil us into conflicts of every kind and the pride and the arrogance. May we pray, God, into the situations of our lives and in our communities, for God is the answer, Lord. And you have told us that we should turn to you. And Father, you've told us that you are the answer to these things. So help us as Christians to look unto you for our answers. Let us trust in you. Let the foundation be Jesus Christ, not the things and the properties of this world, for they don't have any wisdom compared to you. So God, help us to trust in you in all things, in our lives, in the lives of our communities. Father, give us strength to trust you and to know your love and to know your grace that can truly change our hearts and our lives one at a time, one family at a time, one home at a time, one neighborhood and one community at a time. Father, I believe it's a time of revival in this country. And I would pray it would start in the hearts of us. And that the world would know that you're still on the throne. And that you want good for us. May we trust in you. And pray with you in our hearts every day. And may it be you in whom we trust. Hear our hearts and prayers this morning in Christ's holy name. Amen.
God is for us, who can be against us? Now may the peace and grace of God go with you, bless you, and keep you. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.